Then they just like.
You know what I mean?
Come on.
It's time to breathe again. Time to breathe again on the latest BOFA Sports webcast, streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. So, a couple of things before we get started. You might have seen Patrick as we were coming on here with a gun motion. And basically, we were responding off of the news that the New York Knicks fired Tom Thibodeau as head coach today. So we'll get to that. We'll touch on that in a little bit. And also, Aaron, nice to see you on here tonight. And I see that you have a question asking, what is the STFU Club? Well, the STFU Club, which I'm pretty sure what's going on.
Duh. Duh.
And I'm pretty sure you knew that, Aaron. You just want to hear us say it.
Yeah, you just want to hear us say it, Aaron. That's all that is. Oh, Aaron, dude, we watched your thing. That was pretty cool. And all the views that you got, man, like all the camera views that you got, that was freaking insane, dude. That was freaking insane. We got to put his link when you do the description. You need to put his link to that show because like people need to see that. That was pretty cool from those views.
Yes, Aaron. So yeah, for the people who are tuning in, so, Aaron, yeah, you're welcome, dude. That was pretty tight. But yes, he was at the NFL draft in Green Bay, and Aaron got interviewed by NBC 26, who was in Green Bay.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, NBC 26. Yeah. That was it. But dude, all the camera views that you got with all the dude.
Awesome.
Pretty good, man. That was pretty good. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, so the context of the STFU Club is when people say stuff that is crazy and dumb and makes no sense. They get inducted into the STFU Club.
New York Knicks fans.
Well, what we'll have to do is put together a graphic of all the people who have made it in the club. And so,
like I said, Charles, we said this many times, make a graphic of the people that's not in it. It's a shorter list. We've had so many people, and we got like nominees that's been in there four times.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. So we're
Draymond Green.
Yeah, we have to put Draymond Green times four, or, you know.
LeBron James
times five. And so, oh man, so that is the context of the STFU Club. And again, Aaron, that was cool what you were able to get in front. Charles Barkley said some crazy things stuff.
I think he's been in it twice.
Yeah, but I think Barkley's been on there twice. But Barkley's all right for the most part. And now there are some things where you're just wondering, come on. Yeah.
Don't go there.
So Barkley been on there probably twice, not as much. I want to say Draymond Green has been on there more than anybody else. It's probably LeBron. LeBron's been on there.
LeBron's been in there quite a few. Draymond Green's been in there quite a few. And there's
Aaron Rodgers has been in there a good
amount. Aaron Rodgers, I think, is the one that's capped it. I think he's trying to set a cap at 20.
Yeah.
it ain't happening.
There's no caps. No caps. Like, you going on here is as much as needed.
I think he's testing the waters to see how far he can go. I can't wait till he's in the middle of me and you on our screen. Yeah. And we're like,
no,
he's like, this reminds me of Pat McAfee. And then we bust his ass. And then he's like, this ain't Pat McAfee at all. I don't like it.
No, Aaron, it won't be Kaya and Enema time. At least we don't plan to talk about Aaron Rodgers tonight, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we did.
But let's get started with the NBA Finals. So the matchup is set.
You have the Indiana Pacers coming out of the Eastern Conference, matching up with the OKC Thunder from the Western Conference. Should be a, I think this is going to be a pretty good series. I think it'll go six games. I do have OKC winning the series, but it's going to be, and so I think OKC will save the world, Aaron. I do. But Indiana is going to go down swinging. They have a great coach, a championship coach in Rick Carlisle. They have a roster just like OKC does. And they play well. Like, everybody knows their roles. They're just a cohesive unit. So this is going to be a, I think, a great exhibition of team basketball that you have with these deep rosters. Each of them can go 10 or 11 deep. And I just think this is going to be a really fun series, regardless of what the NBA and some of the media might say, because of the market size, which is dumb. If you're a basketball fan, then you'll watch the series. Don't be a basketball fan, and then all of a sudden your team ain't in it. I'm not going to watch it. Then that means you're not a basketball fan. So,
I'm not a huge basketball fan, unless it's Mark Madden.
You watch the series, though.
I'll pay attention to it, but I probably won't, like, watch it. I'll pay attention.
But like
it's
you said,
it's not called World Series, where I'm watching that every season. And Georgia got put out by Oklahoma State, and I'm sitting here going, yeah, but I still got to see if Arkansas, because Arkansas was my preseason pick, and they're still in it. 3 years running, baby. 3 years running.
But you're, like you said, you're not a huge basketball fan. So like you said, if you're a baseball fan, and then you're just like, oh, no, I'm not going to watch because Georgia went out, then you're not a
baseball fan. No.
You're a Georgia fan. And if your team is gone, then you obviously don't care about whatever else happens. So don't call yourself a baseball fan.
Yeah. I stopped watching NBA around game three of the season when the Hawks were 0-3. And I was like, ah, well, Hawks are out. So
what is up with you?
Bye, basketball.
What is up with you wanting everybody to sell teams? What is going on, Patrick? What's wrong,
man? Look, I just need Georgia to win everything. That's all I need. I'm not asking for much. I want the Hawks to win. I want the Braves to win. I want the Falcons to win. I want the Georgia Bulldogs to win everything. So, I mean, look, what am I asking that is too much? And don't you dare put me in the STFU club.
No. Did you see Aaron's comment? Yeah. And so
we ain't winning shit, are we?
Patrick, can you, so for people who don't know, Aaron said, Patrick, can you confirm that driver education and sobriety will be a new major in Georgia or at Georgia?
Hey, look, I can't say anything, Charles. You know how I was when I was younger. I can't say anything.
Georgia did have a rash of DUIs that was happening, so.
We still do.
And so I can see. I mean, for a while, Texas did too. I can't sit here and act like we just great partying down there in Austin. Yeah, very
exciting. Yeah, but in Texas, we all know it ain't illegal until you steal the cop car.
You're so stupid.
I can't say all know that.
It's true. Can't say nothing.
Georgia, on the other hand, they get drunk and everybody's drunk and they decide that they want to take midnight strolls. I mean, I don't see what the problem is. I mean, I loved being DD when I was growing up. Driving was best.
He said you're a god at Grand Theft Auto.
So, yes, I am.
So, Patrick, what is your thoughts on the final series?
Look, OKC is, to me, I think OKC is a younger team that's going to be, I don't know if they're going to, I'm going to take OKC in seven because I do think both of these teams are really deep. Like you said, they could go 9-10 and they're not afraid to use their bench. So it's going to be huge playing against each other like that and needing your bench players. But I do, I will say this, I don't think the starting lineups are going to be what changes the series. I think whoever's bench comes out on top is going to be the team that comes out on top. And I kind of think OKC will do it, but I do think OKC will be, it'll take seven.
Yeah, in Indiana, I mean, Indiana got a chip. They got a chip on their shoulders because they've been disrespected this whole run. people forget they made the Eastern Conference Finals last year. And what everybody said during that run was, oh, Milwaukee, who they beat in the first round, sorry, Aaron, who they beat in the first round, was injured. They were beaten up. They didn't have Giannis. And people said Indiana just got over. And then they beat the Knicks in the semifinals. And people saying, oh, well, Jalen Brunson broke his hand. OG Anunoby was injured. Julius Randle was injured too. So everybody was just making these excuses for why Indiana got there. Now here's this run. They beat Milwaukee. Again, sorry, Aaron. And people were talking about, oh, well, Damian Lillard wasn't in there. And then they beat Cleveland, the number one seed in the East. In five games they beat them. And people want to say, oh, well, they were beaten up too. The game where all those people were missing, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, DeAndre Hunter. Cleveland still should have won that game, y'all. So they were up 7 points with 30 seconds to go. And Indiana was able to make that up. And then they just proved they were the better team. They were better than Cleveland. And the same thing happened here. No excuses this time. Everybody for the Knicks were healthy. They had Carl Anthony Towns. They had Brunson there. Mikal Bridges was there. Indiana still beat them. They were the better team. Let me see this. He said, no, the only reason they beat the Knicks is because Tibbs doesn't know that the roster goes 15 deep and Cat was moving like a tank. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, that's what
he's talking about is the reason why the Pacers were a better team is because of what we've been saying for 3 weeks. Pacers are willing to use their bench. Knicks were not. And that's part of the game. You know, if the coach decides that he's not going to use the bench, no one will tell you, you know. Be honest with you, I don't even think if the Knicks even used their bench, they were going to beat that Pacers team. That Pacers team was just better. And the bench was a better bench because they get played, and the Knicks never played anybody off the bench that much. So I think the better team won. I was actually kind of shocked that the Knicks took Game Five, and pushed that into Game Six because I thought the Pacers were going to take care of business personally.
Yeah,
and they should have, honestly.
Yeah, and we'll get to the knee-jerky reaction to firing Tom Thibodeau here in a little bit. But yeah, OKC, they got the MVP in SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and just deep roster, Chet Holmgren, Jalen Williams, the Alex Caruso move when they made that trade to get him. You talk about a solidification. You talk about somebody coming on there and just fitting right into what OKC does with their defense and getting out in the open court, creating turnovers. That was perfect as well. And now here they are in the finals, young team. I think they're maybe the second youngest, maybe the youngest team in the league. And it appeared with the roster they have right now, they have a bunch of draft picks that they have compiled as well. There's no reason to believe OKC is going away anytime soon. OKC is going to be around for a while. And this might be the first of multiple championships. I have them in six. I think Indiana's going to fight. They're going to scrap. And they just have a team that's not going to go down lightly. I've been hearing things, Patrick. Like people will say, oh, well, somebody was saying Oklahoma should win in four or five. I was like, goodness, I think OKC is going to win the series, but I don't think they're dog walking.
They're not sweeping the Patriots.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be surprised in five. I would be totally shocked in four. Six, okay, I can give them that. Seven is what I think. You're not going to. I don't think that this is any one of those. This is that one series where it's not anybody playing with their food. Like, they're gonna go at each other. it will be at least six games.
He said Pacers are using voodoo cornfield magic. Well, I thought that was Iowa who did that. But my bad. Sorry, Iowa. Sorry.
Nebraska.
Yeah, right. Indiana got a lot of cornfields,
you know.
Indiana got a lot of cornfields too, but I mean, but not like Iowa, Nebraska. So that's what we have. So we both have the Thunder winning. It should be a good series. It begins Thursday night. And we look forward to a series that's gonna be highly contested. The defense, OKC's defense is ridiculous in terms of the pressure they have. But I do think also, before we move on, Indiana has an underrated defense too. They can put some pressure on you. And the job Andrew Nembhard did on Jalen Brunson in game six. I mean, he was all over him. I mean, Brunson got him, said he's all headbutting him and everything. Goodness.
And then in that one flop that he had where he was like, and threw the ball up over the backboard, I was like, oh, come on, dude. And all I could see is LeBron doing this. And you know it's on LeBron's face. It's like, he ain't doing that right. He ain't doing it right. I got to show him how to do it. Yeah, that ain't right.
Oh, goodness. So before we move on and we talk about what happened with the teams that went out in the conference finals, Aaron says Indiana weather news stations are prepping the state for the corn sweat. Humidity from corn growth, it is indeed real. The Knicks. So... The Knicks, as we talked about,
they break it up or run it again.
No, I don't know what they're gonna. They're already breaking it up if they fire in the coach. And like what Aaron pointed out, I think this is a knee jerk reaction. I guess I'll throw this out here. Overall, I think this is kind of a knee jerk reaction as well, simply because this is the furthest the Knicks have gotten in 25 years. Like 2000, literally the year 2000 was the last time they were in the conference finals in the Eastern Conference. So as much as we talk about Tibbs's lack of playing the bench, his lack of evolving, the Knicks got further than they have in 25 seasons. But on that note, if they had one of these meetings, your end of the season meetings, you come back, you start to clean out your locker, and then you have the talks on next steps, what you want to do for the offseason going into the regular season. If the GM and the owner, and again, I don't know this to be any type of a fact, but if the GM and the owner had a talking with Tibbs, and the GM, that maybe it was the GM or vice president of basketball operations or whatever fancy job titles there are today. But maybe they had the conversation of, hey, this series should have told us a lot of things. You need to play your people. You need to develop a bench and make sure when it is time, you can put these guys in, not out of necessity, not when Jalen Brunson gets in foul trouble or Carl Anthony Towns gets in foul trouble. But we need to develop a bench to have some depth. And when these guys, in the event they do get in foul trouble, then we can put these guys in and there's no drop off because they've been playing during the regular season. They know what to do when they get in there. We saw what we lost to. Indiana got this big old huge bench. And they were using their people. If that conversation happened and Tibbs said, no, I'm going to do things the way I've been doing them because we've advanced further than we have in 25 years, then I can see maybe where there was a disconnect and they said that he had to go.
Well, I mean, you also have to look at it from the standpoint is that every one of those guys that he'd been playing for
40 to 45 minutes.
Every single game, they're a year older. yeah, you need to develop a bench at some point because it's not going to continue to keep playing out the way you're happening that it happened to play out for you. You got to play the guys on the bench because the guys that you keep playing 40, 35 plus minutes a game, and I only say 35 plus minutes because I know Brunson was probably averaging like 42. It's gonna wear and tear. It's not something that you can just keep doing year after year and thinking that you're gonna keep doing the same thing. You've got to develop a bench. And if he's not going to, I can see where those conversations led to him being fired.
And that's the thing, Patrick, like, because like we don't know that, and I'm sure some things will come out. You know how it is when you have the reports come out and then somebody gets wind of how those conversations went, and then it'll get reported on some outlet. And maybe what we are saying right now does turn out to be the truth. I'm just saying, if I'm in the front office of the Knicks, that's probably how I would approach it. Mm-hmm. I would tell Tom Thibodeau, hey, this is not going to work. We just got ran out of the playoffs by a team that was deeper and knew how to use their bench. And so our starters ran out of gas. They totally ran out of gas. You see it, they were gas.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to develop these players. And like Aaron says, yes, they have players who could come on there. When Landry Shamet and DeLone Wright came off there, they played pretty well. But Tibbs, for whatever reason, didn't keep them in. And like I said, them coming in was out of necessity because Jalen Brunson and Deuce McBride got in foul trouble. It wasn't a novel idea. It wasn't like Tibbs sat there and said, oh, yeah, I got these people here. You know, maybe I want to develop this bench. No, he put them in because he had to. And if that was the conversation that happened in between Saturday night when the Pacers eliminated the Knicks and now, then yes, that's where I could see them saying, all right, this ain't gonna work. But outside of that, Tibbs should be the coach.
Yeah.
Outside of that, there's no reason why he shouldn't be a coach when they have actually shown progress. And you know, when we talk about these coaches, Patrick, a lot of times you say you can always judge it from a couple of things. One, is their progression going up from season to season? And two, have the players given up on you?
Neither one of those happened.
Right.
Well, hold on. The progression happened and the players didn't give up. Let me restate that, because that is what you're looking for. And those happened. Both of those happened. They progressed from year to year, and none of those players giving up. And if you would have saw the players giving up, they would have done it way earlier in the playoffs. So, I think that's the only possible reason that he got fired was the fact that he was not willing to progress himself and develop a bench. That's the only way I see it. So. I mean, I was kind of surprised even when you told me pre-show that he got fired, and I was like, yeah, I don't know.
Aaron said, wait, he said what?
Talking about me?
Yeah.
Wait, what did I say?
Okay, he said he thought that, okay, he said if he thought they were playing.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. So, no, Patrick was just saying he would have, yeah. He's saying Tibbs would have played different guys if he felt they were giving up on him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, but just to the overreaching point, none of that happened. Like, those players were playing hard. Like, I mean, there wasn't any signs of them just saying, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. Those players, they looked like they were... For the simple fact that they were in the Eastern Conference Finals, you have a chance to go to the NBA Finals. I don't think there was any situation where the players just said,
I'm done.
Message, yeah, I'm done, or the message was wearing thin.
The only way they said I was done was because of the fact that they just couldn't keep up anymore. They were gassed, and they just couldn't keep running 40-plus minutes a game anymore. I mean, even if it went to a Game 7, the Pacers were gonna run them out of the – they were going to run them out in Game 7. And it's just – at that point, if you make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, you win a Game 5 even after being down 3-1. That tells you all you need to know about the players, and they did not give up on it. So, I mean, to me, like we said before, the only thing that I could say that really was that he got fired was not willing to develop that bench.
Yeah, and to Aaron's point, yeah, game one. The Knicks are going to look at game one, and they're just going to continuously kick themselves all year, all offseason, because of that blown lead. I think... Okay, Aaron said Tibbs and Phoenix would be interesting. That ain't working. Phoenix has nobody who wants to play defense at all. And so that ain't working. And I guess with the Knicks, and then that's the other thing. That's the question you have to wonder. If you are going to fire Tom Thibodeau, who are you bringing in? I know Taylor Jenkins is out there, the old coach for the Memphis Grizzlies. And so is Michael Malone, who, of course, was the coach of the Denver Nuggets. So... I mean, I don't – there's nothing to me that says that would be too much different, because they really didn't play a lot of their bench. When they were in – when Taylor Jenkins was in Memphis, he played a little bit. I would say he had maybe a 9-man rotation, maybe a 10. And Michael Malone really did – he went about 8-9 deep in Denver too, even the year they won the championship. So I don't really know how different that would be. Then maybe you get some, like a up-and-coming coach, maybe an assistant, and maybe he plays more people. But it'll be interesting to see who they bring in. And David Fizdale, no, Aaron, no, no, no. If LeBron James ain't anywhere around, he's not. So.
Well, there you go. Maybe LeBron goes to New York. Throw it out there. Just, you know, toss it onto the wall, see if it sticks. You know.
Let's just get this
barrel. Let's hope he retires. He just needs to retire.
Yeah.
No. Lane needs to retire.
Let's get this farewell tour started.
Please, God, please let it just start and let it wrap that shit up, B. Wrap it up.
So, and then on the other end with Minnesota, you have the same problem. Chris Finch does not play people. He doesn't play people for Minnesota. And when you look at games 4 and 5, Anthony Edwards. Look,
what if New York and Minnesota just flip coaches?
They already flip players.
I know. I mean, get the same outcome as you did last year.
Yeah.
Different person.
That is crazy how you get the same result. I mean, because if you think about it, to me, Karl Anthony Towns and Julius Randle are the same type of players. Not in style. Let me clarify. Not necessarily in style. But from the standpoint of these guys can give you great games. 27 and 16. And then the next game, they disappear. And it's just a bunch of inconsistency. And it's really, really frustrating. And they play soft, too. Like, for their size, they play really, really soft. They should be going to the hoop, just dunking on people all the time. But instead, they want to stay outside on the perimeter. Julius Randle, especially, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at it. And we talked about how great OKC's defense is. But if you have a smaller guy on you, you're giving up 2-3 inches. To Julius Randle, why are you getting into the paint and fading away? Why are you doing that?
I don't know. I put my hand on his head, and
yeah, right. Like you should be dominating, and it does not happen enough, which is the frustrating thing. If you're a Knicks fan and you are watching Karl Anthony Towns play, you're just mad. You're just thinking to yourself, man, this dude. Give you 27 and 16 pretty easily because, I mean, he's got the height. He can hit the outside shot. He can hit the three. Hell, he won a three-point shooting contest one year at the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. But it's just not consistent, and he has the dumbest, the absolute dumbest fouls. I'd be wondering, like, why did you get that foul? Why are you pushing some dude out of bounds because you didn't get the rebound? And it's a small dude at that.
The small running dude across the court, out of bounds, running in, and he's like, what did I do?
So Minnesota, and so with the Knicks and Minnesota, it's the same issue. Play your people. That's got to be a conversation that happens with Chris Finch too. You need to play your people. You need to develop a bench. And if you don't, then it's going to be the same result. And then you're going to have to go. And like I said, we're looking at Anthony Edwards in games 4 or 5. He looked gassed too. You know, like OKC's energy and their pressure that they bring tired him out. He was he didn't have that same enthusiasm, that same intensity that he brought in game 3, where he was actually getting out on the open court. He was on the defense. He was getting up on SGA and Jalen Williams, and they were bringing the ball up. None of that was apparent in game 4 or 5. He just looked gassed out and tired, just like a lot of the roster did.
Just like in game 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Tired in 1 and 2, brought everything he needed in 3, and then was done in 4 and 5.
Exactly. And Patrick, and here's another thing that's common with the Knicks and the Timberwolves. There's not much they can do to upgrade the roster. The Knicks traded 5 first-round picks to get Mikal Bridges. 5.
Jeez.
To get Bridges, who's a nice player. I think Bridges is good, but not that good. Are you serious? That's just like the trade Minnesota did to get Rudy Gobert. So now you have no assets to really do a trade. And if you are going to do a trade, you're going to gut your depth even more.
And on top of that, you're probably cap heavy anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. So, Patrick, if we did play the game, run it back or break it up, they don't have no choice. They got to run it back because they can't do anything really to upgrade the roster.
They look at the team. And they're like, nah, we got to break it up. And look at the banking account, and they're like, run it again. run it again. I thought we need bench play. Run it again. Why? Run it again. Run it again.
So,
We got no picks. You got to run it again. We're broke.
They don't have a lot they can do to really upgrade the roster. And then the people who are there, particularly in Minnesota, they're going to have to figure out, like, Julius Randle has an option. He's probably going to opt into that option. It's around $30 million. He's probably going to opt into that. Mm-hmm. And then Naz Reid may be gone. Now, if they lose Naz Reid, that's a big loss because that was their main dude coming off of the bench. I want to say last year he won Sixth Man of the Year. Like, he was that good last year.
I don't think he did.
I think he did. We can look it up. You know, I've been wrong on this.
I'll look it up. I didn't think he won.
I think he won Sixth Man of the Year last year, and I could be wrong. But because I forget, I don't know who won it this year off the top of my head. But yeah, I think Naz Reid won it last year.
24-25, Peyton Pritchard won.
Oh, yeah, that's right. For Boston, okay.
And then you're right. Naz Reid did win last year.
All right. And so.
See, that's the thing is, like, I swear you're like AI for that kind of stuff. Dude. So like, okay. Oh, pop quiz. Who won it the year before that?
Okay, that one I don't know.
Oh, come on. You got this.
No, I do not remember that one. I don't.
Malcolm Brogdon won it.
Oh, you for Boston, right?
Probably. Who won it before that, though?
That I don't know. I don't know of all.
Tyler Hero won it that year.
Yeah. I'm not total AI. Something close, but
dude, you could probably name all 53 Super Bowls right now. Go.
Ooh.
I'm playing.
Hey, I know Green Bay won the first
Green Bay.
Yeah, I know Green Bay won the first two. And look, I can tell you, so look, I know this. So I know the Pittsburgh Steelers have the most, or they're tied with the New England Patriots with six. And then it's the Cowboys and 49ers with five. And the Packers and Giants each have four.
And Atlanta bringing up the ass in with zero.
Oh, gosh. So before we get to hockey and look at the Stanley Cup final there, the STFU Club. So the STFU Club, this one is going to, yeah, pretty much the whole Knicks fan base. Now, when we say that
The whole state of New York.
Now, I know not all the Knicks fans are very, what's the word?
Opinionated.
Yeah. and look, everybody's
opinionated. But here's the problem. You're guilty by association.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Everybody.
In New York. Nueve York. S-E-F-U. Knicks.
Nueva York. I love it. And there's some sensible Knicks fans in there. You beat the Celtics and you get to go to the Eastern Conference Finals and you are throwing the party like you won the championship. You got people, they are surfing on security barricades through the crowd. I mean, they are climbing like
carrying the goalposts down Main Street, throwing it into the river.
Down Broadway. Yeah.
We know. We see you.
And I think they just got a real delusional with it because they felt, well, they beat Boston, so they should waltz to the title. They should waltz to the title. And then when it doesn't happen, here's all these knee-jerk reactions like, oh, my gosh, we need wholesale changes. But a week and a half ago, you were celebrating.
Around draft picks.
Yeah. A week and a half ago, you were celebrating the team like they were the best thing ever. And, I mean, all of them. Look, hey, Spike Lee, Tracy Morgan, Ben Stiller, all the dudes who be at pretty much every Knicks game. Yep, y'all are guilty by association, too. Yep, the whole Knicks.
I'd be honest with you. I think as much Spike Lee dresses up in his Knicks uniforms and outfits and stuff, I think that's the curse right there.
It's okay.
That's the curse right there. Spike Lee, you got to go, bro.
Yeah.
You got to go.
And look, and Spike Lee, so I'll say this. With Spike Lee and Tracy Morgan and Ben Stiller, they go to those games regardless. So
yeah, they do.
Talk about
some. They are legit fans. So.
Yes. You talk about some true fans. They are there.
And I got to give them credit for that, man.
Yes.
Respect, because you're there night and day. Win or loss, you're supporting your team. So yeah, shout out to them for just staying on the wagon.
Staying loyal.
Yeah, staying loyal. I stay loyal to my Hawks from a distance.
but hey, to the rest of the fan base, yeah, STFU Club.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the Stanley Cup Final, which is a rematch of last year's Stanley Cup Final between the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers, except this time the Oilers will have home ice advantage. So game one will be Wednesday night in Edmonton. And last year it went seven. And Patrick, I fully expect this series to go seven games again.
Yep.
Oh, gosh. I don't know who I have winning this year, though. Oh, my gosh. I'm still going to go with Florida, I think.
You are?
Yeah. Edmonton, though, there's something different about them this year. Like, there's a calmness to them. Like, they...
Yeah. And they just play hockey. And here's the difference, man. One of the things that... I talked to you about it, about the Carolina Panthers. Or the Carolina...
Hurricanes.
Hurricanes. Yeah, the Hurricanes. That team. Yeah. The Hurricanes and the Panthers. That was throwing me off, dude. I was like, I cannot wrap my mind around that yet. Hold on. but the Hurricanes and Panthers series. We said it last week. Or maybe this week before. One or two. Anyway, I said the Hurricanes do one thing really well. And that's they control the ice. And they control it very well, right? When you play a Panthers team that can control the ice, that can play the dirty spots, that can do all the things that you do and do it better, except for that one thing, you're going to run into a buzzsaw. I did not see it that way. I figured the Hurricanes could figure it out. I came to a very clear conclusion. Until they figure out that they need to do more in the dirty areas, they're not going to win. And they're going to run up against a team like the Oilers, or they're going to run up against a team like the Panthers, and they're going to get dominated. Or Stars, they can run up, you know, they're going to run up against some of these teams that can do that, and they're going to get shut down. That's what happened. Now, I know you're going to go far. I know you're going Panthers in seven. But, man, I think this Edmonton team's probably, you know, with a chip on their shoulder, man. I'm going Oilers in seven. I'm going Oilers in seven. They're playing with a chip on their shoulder, and they're wanting revenge. And I think this is the series they have been wanting all season. Since game seven of last year, now they get it. I'm going to go Oilers in seven.
And, I mean, I don't think that's an off the wall pick either, man. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Oilers won, especially seeing what they did to the Stars. They dismantled the Stars.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely did. Like that series would have been a sweep. I mean, as it was, it in essence was a sweep. I mean, Edmonton won four games in a row.
Yeah. But, I mean, Dallas won game one and that was it.
It was it. And that was just a bad period. Edmonton had a 3-0 lead in that game. But they fell apart in the third quarter with penalties. They had crazy penalties. And Dallas's power play was on fire in that third period. Yep. And that's why Dallas was able to win game one. But once the Oilers said, we're going to clean up these penalties, Dallas did not have a shot. Dallas couldn't get anything going consistently. And so that brings it up, like what you said about the Hurricanes. I think it's the same question about the Stars. The Stars don't get enough dirty goals. And when you were in this part of the season, this part of the playoffs, from conference finals on, that's where the teams that are multiple, Edmonton and Florida, that's where they're going to shine above everybody else, because they can win all these multiple ways. All these different ways. If you want to try to get it into a shootout where it's 5-4 or 6-5, Edmonton and Florida can do that. Mm-hmm. If you want to try to dirty it up and make it play a 2-1 game, Edmonton and Florida can do that too. Mm-hmm. And they can play the physical game. If you want to try to hit them, they can play bully hockey back. And there's just not really a weakness with them. And so if you're the next step for Carolina and Dallas, what they do well, that's good, but they're going to have those different tentacles to extend off of that. And so mm-hmm. when those other teams do take away plan A, they can still do plan B, C, and D and keep the ship rolling and find a way to win those games when they don't have their best stuff.
Yeah. And especially like when the way Florida and Edmonton took away shots on goal for the Stars and Hurricane, I was sitting here watching the Hurricanes shoot 35, 40 shots on goal, and they were barely getting 20. You know what I mean? It was very weird watching those two teams not get shots on goal. And I mean, even in power plays, I mean, they were shooting the puck right back down the ice, and it was constantly having to reface the formation, go back and bring it back up the ice. And it was constant. Like, they weren't getting shots on goal because they just couldn't get it. And that's a huge difference. I mean, you know, you're looking at Edmonton and Florida. who have four stellar lines and three or four blue liners that, I mean, dude, some of the best in the entire league. It's going to be a great series. You know, like I rode with the Hurricane and Stars as far as I could because I picked them both round one.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm going to ride with them. But, yeah, those two teams, they proved that they are the two dominant teams in the league this year and over the past couple of years. And it's going to be a hell of a series. So I'm going to go Edmonton 7.
And if Edmonton is able to win, that will be the first Stanley Cup won by a Canadian team. So here's AI for you, Patrick. Since the Montreal Canadiens did it in 1993, they are the last Canadian team to win a Stanley Cup.
1993.
Who's
part of that team? Was Subban on that team?
No, that was...
He didn't come into the league until like 95, right?
No, Subban didn't come into the league till like 2000s, dude. I mean, because he's young. Yeah, Subban's pretty
young. He just seems like he's
this is a quarter. You remember Joe Sakic? Not Joe Sakic. My bad. The goalie, Patrick Roy.
Oh.
Patrick Roy was on that team. And then I can't remember all the players that were on there, but
that was 1993, though.
That's the last time a Canadian team won the Stanley Cup. You've had a few, because of course you know. Of course, Edmonton was in there last year.
It takes a hot place like Florida to win on the ice.
That's wild, right?
Yeah. Like, too bad the Thrashers could never like figure it out. I really liked watching them.
Teams from Florida have been in the last six Stanley Cups. The last six. Tampa Bay had a 3-year run in Florida. This is their third year in a row.
Dang.
And Tampa Bay won two. Did they want two? And then they went for the third, but they got beat by Colorado in six games. And then it's been Florida the rest of the last 3 years. Of course, the Golden Knights beat them that in 2023, and then they won last year. But yeah, the Canadian teams, Montreal was in it in 2020. That was that weird, 2021. That was that weird COVID year where you had the Canadians playing the Lightning, even though they're in the same conference. But because of how they did the divisions, the
Canadians. Yeah.
But Tampa Bay beat them there. I think Vancouver back in 2011 had a shot, but they got beat by Boston.
And well, I guess it's time for it to go back to Canada then.
Yeah, and so we'll see how it goes. But yeah, like I said, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see either team win it. They're both great teams, and it could definitely go either way with it.
Yeah.
But Edmonton does have – they have that chip on their shoulders, but there is a calmness to them too. I listened to Connor McDavid talk after they knocked the Stars out in Game 5, and he just said, "And we're not frazzled like we were last year. We're here. We're current and we're ready." It's like a sense of calm. So we'll see how that works out for them against Florida this year. Before we head on out, let's look at some Major League Baseball progress reports. So we are a third of the way through the season now. And as I look at these standings, the Detroit Tigers have the best. The Detroit Tigers have the best record in the major leagues right now. So
crazy.
It's super crazy. 40-21, 6.5 games up on the Cleveland Guardians in the American League Central. The Yankees are in first place in the East, in the AL East, 5.5 games over the Toronto Blue Jays. Toronto's playing a little bit better than I expected. And then Seattle has a half game lead on the Astros. The Mariners have a half game lead. Yeah. The Mariners have a half game lead on Houston in the AL West. And then when you go over to the National League, the Mets just took over first place not too long ago from the Phillies. So they're a game and a half up on them. The Mets are a game and a half up on Phillies. the Cubs four games up on the Cardinals in the National League Central. And
watch out for those Brewers.
Yeah, yeah.
They're playing good right now.
They are. The Brewers just swept Philadelphia in Philly over the weekend. And they swept Boston.
Mm-hmm.
The series before.
The series before that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then in the National League West, well, everyone thought the Dodgers were going to run away. And they still might. We'll see. But it looks like the Padres and the Giants. And I think the Diamondbacks will get it together, too. They're 7.5 games back, but the Padres are just a game back, and the poor Rockies are 10-50.
They're 11-50. They won.
Yeah. Okay.
They won. They won yesterday and today, so they're 11-50.
Okay. So yeah. So I mean, what stands out besides the fact that the
Detroit
Tigers are
Detroit. That's about the only thing that I was saying. I was sitting here looking at it. God, what was it? Friday? I was looking at it because I was, I was like in and out with the College World Series. And I was like, oh, I'll watch a little bit of MLB. And I turned it over and I was like, what? Where'd they come from? Like, who would have thought that? I thought it was pretty interesting, though. There's a couple of things that stood out other than the Detroit Lions playing very, very well and being the number Tigers. One. God. Tigers, whoever. Lions, Tigers, Bears, whoever it is.
Yeah.
The other thing that kind of surprised me is how well the Brewers have played over the past couple of weeks. That was actually pretty surprising because they're putting together some really good a really good couple of weeks. Now, we'll see how well it goes when they get into their next series.
They are playing. I don't know off the top of my head.
Oh, they're still in the Reds series.
Yeah, that's right. They started the series with the Reds.
Yeah, they started it, and I think they're playing the Reds right now. Yeah, so they won. They swept Boston. They had that one game against Pittsburgh. They swept Boston. They swept Philly. And they are they up right now?
Down. They're down. They're down 4-2.
4-2. Okay. So, I mean, that kind of surprised me as how well they were playing. I was like, hey, okay, Brewers, doing your thing. But they played really well against that Phillies. And then Seattle on top of in the West. I thought that was pretty cool. Pretty cool that they were at the number one in the West.
So Seattle is interesting because Seattle has good pitching. The thing with them is, can their lineup stay somewhat consistent? If they can, they're very dangerous and they can make some noise if they're able to get into the playoffs. Because the pitching will be pretty consistent with Seattle. But you're going to have to score more than 2-3 runs if you're going to win. So
either that or stop the other team from scoring 6.
Yeah.
that'll help.
And so I think continuing to look at these standings, I think I'm still waiting, and you may or may not agree with this, depending on how you feel about the team being sold. But I still think the Braves will come out and make a good push here because they got some people back. Spencer Strider's back. Ronald Acuña Jr. is back. Mm-hmm. And I think some things will start to get solidified there. As it is, they're 10 games back from the Mets. And the Nats, God, the Nats are 9.5 back. They're getting blasted by the Cubs right now, though.
I think the Braves will figure some stuff out. They've always been a second half team, so let's get past All Star, and then they tend to settle in and play baseball. So, I mean, I give them a lot of grief, but it's because the first half of the season always sucks for us Braves fans. We're always like, come on, dude, and then they'll turn it around and be like, what? We went 88, we won 88 games and a World Series. What's going on? And I'm like, don't do that to me.
So
win in the first part of the season, so we can coasting to the playoffs.
So don't sell the team.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Let's see how the playoffs goes if we have to play Philly. Because if we have to lose against Philly again, I'm going to sell them all. I want Truist Field gone. I want everybody gone.
You want the whole thing? They just built that field. They just built that field not too long ago.
Yeah, give the field to Georgia Tech and we move on.
Well, at least until the All-Star break, right? Because the All-Star game's in Atlanta this year, right?
Yeah,
so at least wait till the All-Star break. Let's not get rid of the field.
Not yet. Like I said, we'll see if we have to play Philly in the first round. If we do and we lose, then I'm selling the team. Yeah. Like, I don't want anything to do with the Braves anymore. They're gone.
Oh, boy. Well, before we head out, what is going on with Pro Epic? Because I don't think there's anything else that's really going on. I mean, you got the NFL. They're doing their mini camp.
Dude, you forgot one thing.
But I forget.
College World Series, dude.
Oh, dude. Okay. Yes, you're right. So, I don't know what... I just know if you're a seeded team, you're in trouble.
All I know is if you're a hosted team, don't host it. Georgia, because Texas, Vandy.
Candy, Ole Miss, the teams that were seeded and hosting a regional were in danger.
Yeah, and then Georgia, don't ever host again. Just travel somewhere. don't ever host again. We've hosted three times in a row, and we got waxed three times in a row.
And hey, in softball, Texas, let's go.
Hey, I got Texas Tech.
Texas Tech, yeah. Hey, and that pitcher
I think y'all should handle that.
I do too. I think if we can get like what we were talking about earlier, if we get four runs, got it. Like Texas Tech hasn't scored more than three runs, and I don't know if they scored three runs in more than any game this season. Or in the playoffs.
The defense is just so freaking good, dude.
It is. No, they
don't
so
allow teams to score.
They are so fundamentally sound.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be tough. I look at Texas Tech and Texas like I looked at Texas and UTSA. When I saw that, I was like, ooh, that's going to be a tough one. I told you earlier, I was like, I knew Texas was going to come out of that regional, man. I knew they were. I was like, man, Texas is just a good team. But then I saw that UTSA and I was like, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. And I was like, Texas is going to have to play them twice. I knew that right off the bat. I did not see UTSA beating Texas twice. I was like, what? Oh, dude. Between that and Georgia losing in the bottom of the night, dude. We were going into the bottom of the ninth, and I was like, okay, we've made a lot of mistakes, but we're still up 9-7. We're up 9-7. We're good. Walk. I was like, oh, crap. I was like, just get the out. Boom! Tie game. I was like, oh, fuck. We're screwed. We're screwed because this is not what we needed. Bing. And I was like, I did this right here, and he just got it up into the jet stream, and it spelled out. And I was like, "So you know, of course,
two-run homers,
huh?
Two-run homers,
yeah." And crazy enough, that was like out of those five games, 26 home runs. They don't call it feed the tree for nothing. I hate it. I was like, man, first game, I was like, feed the trees. And we popped off with like four home runs in that game. I was like, feed the trees. Second game, I was like, stop feeding the trees. Because who was it? Duke hit four home runs in that game. And I was like, I was just yelling, don't feed the trees anymore. They're full. So, and then Duke hit four. I think Oklahoma State in their first game, they hit four. Oklahoma State hit three more against Georgia. Dude, it was so many home runs in those five games, man. It was crazy. So I think they set a record, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's just it's just weird just seeing the amount. I guess maybe it's parity, but just the amount of the teams that were hosting regionals just gone.
Yeah, I mean, five of them, I think. Four or five of them.
Yeah, I mean, one, two, y'all were what, seven?
Seven.
Ole Miss was 10.
10. Okay, so it's 10, not 9.
Yep. And I don't, like, I don't know. I know, so Carolina, North Carolina was fifth. They stayed in. Arkansas stayed in. Arkansas was what, 3?
So, hosting was Vandy, out.
Out.
Southern Miss, out.
Out.
Florida State made it. Oregon State made it. North Carolina made it. Oregon, out. Coastal Carolina made it, which that's a dangerous team.
Yeah.
Auburn made it. And then Arkansas, which was my preseason pick this year. Tennessee. Clemson got out. LSU got theirs. Georgia's out. Ole Miss was out. Texas was out. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven hosted teams out.
Yeah, that's
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. But, I mean, I'm looking at it. These are some really good – these are really good matchups, man. Miami and Louisville, that's going to be good, dude. That's going to be a good one. UTSA and UCLA, that's going to be good. I'm not really looking forward to this Duke and Murray State. I don't know if that's going to be any good. Oregon State and Florida State? What?
Very good.
Be a good one. Arkansas and Tennessee, that's going to be a good one. And, dude, I'm going to tell you, man, Auburn's a good team.
Yeah.
But they better watch out for Coastal Carolina, dude.
Mm-hmm.
They better watch out because Coastal Carolina could take them in two games. Just saying.
Well, Coastal Carolina, wow. I mean, they've won a World Series before.
Yeah. Many years ago. It was a couple years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like anytime recent. But I know they won one.
Yeah. They won one in. It's been a while since Auburn won one.
Hmm.
But, I mean, Arkansas is my preseason pick. And. Let's see how they do against Tennessee.
What's coming up for Bro?
Yeah, we don't have a lot. I think we're gonna calm down just a little bit. I think we are gonna try to film our parents versus kids kickball game. I'm trying to get the parents and kids together for that. And then me and Brantley is going to start doing some challenges on our own. And for the summer, we're gonna kind of just me and Brantley do a lot of stuff. And get some challenges that you can take and replicate for other parents and kids. So once they watch the show, then they can go and replicate it. And then hopefully they can use the hashtag #HowDoYouBroEpic and send it to us. And we'll make some clips for them to put on our socials.
All right. And hey, y'all know what's going on for both of sports. I'm just working on those things. No news on that front instead in terms of, hey, they're here. Not yet. But we give it a little bit till around July. We want things to be pretty well in place by the time football season starts. And then we can talk about college and the NFL. And then we'll have like a compliment show to have those interviews on there. So, That's it. Logo design.
Thumbnail.
Yeah, I know. Still the thumbnail.
Logo, thumbnail, Discord. Those are the three big ones. And I'm going to stay on Charles for it.
So, yes, I need that accountability. Outside of that, everybody take care. That is what we are breathing on for this evening. Y'all make sure y'all visit the BOFA Sports YouTube channel. And subscribe. Oh, wow. I'm all off. Let's start that over again. BOFA Sports YouTube channel. Smash that subscribe button and follow the BOFA Sports Facebook page. everybody, and just keep tuning in as we're doing the webcast and the shorties. We're also on the podcast forums as well, so check us out there. We're pretty much we're accessible, so come on, get on board, and come and figure out why we're your favorite show's favorite show.
ESPN gets all their stuff from us.
Yeah.
So just leave the report.
So everybody take care. Awesome. And we will talk to y'all next week. Aaron, again, thanks for tuning on in and bringing the energy. And again, great job on what you put together, the shots that you have from the NFL draft. That was good to watch. So everybody take care, and we will talk to y'all soon.